Please call the case.
122-1926 WC Impact Staffing Appellant by Michael Baggett versus the Illinois Workers' Compensation Commission, Penguis Corporation, Appellee by Jigar Desai.
Mr. Baggett, you may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel. Mike Baggett on behalf of Impact Staffing, the appellant. This is our appeal regarding the decision of the commission reversing the arbitrator's decision regarding whether or not the petitioner was an employee of Impact Staffing on the date of the accident of July 24, 2018. I represent Impact Staffing, which is a staffing company who had employed the petitioner as a day employee for a period of time, who had assigned the petitioner to work for various companies. Prior to working for Servpro, he had worked for a prior company for an extended period of time. For this assignment, he was assigned to Servpro, which was a daily client where employees would be assigned to Servpro on a daily basis. Mr. Flores, the petitioner, had worked for Servpro for a period of time. I think it was for a week or two prior to the accident on July 24th of 2018. He had last worked for Servpro on the Friday before July 24th, 2018. That was the last time that he was assigned to work for Servpro pursuant to Impact Staffing. On July 23rd, Impact Staffing was requested to provide employees to Servpro requested by Mike Chido, who was the owner of Servpro. They advised Mr. Chido that they could not provide employees to Servpro on July 23rd. We did not provide employees to Servpro on that day, the 23rd. The 24th, the day of the accident, Mr. Chido had asked for Servpro to provide two employees to Servpro on July 24th, the day of the accident. Servpro did provide two employees to Servpro on that day. They were not the petitioner, Mr. Flores, on that day of the accident, July 24th, 2018. Mr. Flores was not contacted or provided to work for Servpro by anyone from Impact Staffing. He was contacted directly by Servpro to work for Servpro on July 24th, 2018. That's the reason why we are here today. It is our contention, and quite frankly, what the arbitrator ruled on when we tried this case before him, that the petitioner was not an employee of Impact Staffing on July 24th, 2018. He was an employee, a direct employee of Servpro on that date, because Servpro had reached out and obtained Mr. Flores directly and not hired him through Impact Staffing. The commission had overruled that, indicating that they relied on three reasons. One, that the agreement between Impact and Servpro had not been terminated. That's clear. Mr. Chido, the owner of Servpro, contacted Impact Staffing on July 23rd and requested two employees. Those employees were sent to Servpro on that day. Those two employees were not Mr. Flores. That's documented by the time cards. They were two other employees that were requested by Servpro. Those employees were sent there. We did not contact Mr. Flores to work that day. So that's correct. We don't dispute that. That the agreement between Servpro and Impact Staffing was still in effect on the day of the incident.
Counsel, let me interject. Isn't there evidence that Impact Staffing, in fact, tried to contact the claimant on July the 24th?
That's correct. And they did not reach him.
Okay.
And they, as a result, they sent two separate employees to work at Serpro on that date. They sent the two employees that were requested.
Because he was not reached, we were not able to glean any employer-employee relationship with the fact that this contact's being made to send the workers out or being attempted?
Well, we filled the request that was made by the owner of the company. They requested two employees. We attempted to request Mr. Flores. We couldn't reach him. So we filled that order with two other employees. Those two employees were sent there. We didn't send more than that. We sent what was requested.
What would your status then be with those two other employees that did get sent and did show up?
They were employees of Impact Staffing. Okay. I mean, we wouldn't have sent, if they would have asked for two employees, we wouldn't have sent three. Well, they would have asked us, why are you sending three? We asked for two. They asked for two. We sent two. So, you know, the commission decision seems to relate to the fact that the petitioner, is based on what the petitioner thought or may have thought regarding what his employment status was, but that's not how the agreement works. The agreement was between Impact Staffing and Servpro. Servpro went outside of that agreement and contacted the petitioner outside of what they did with Servpro when they requested the initial two employees. Mr. Chiodo, the owner, is the one who asked for two. We gave them the two as requested. Mr. Garcia then contacted Mr. Flores. Mr. Garcia is the, I want to say, supervisor or general manager or the site supervisor, who then contacted Mr. Flores outside of Impact Staffing directly, who brought him forward. It was not through Impact Staffing to work there. So, as the arbitrator found, he was not an employee of Impact Staffing at the time of the accident. It's unfortunate, but it wasn't through the normal channels in which Mr. Flores came to work for Servpro on the day of the accident. And this is documented by the time cards that were submitted that show that they asked for two employees. Two employees were given. It's unfortunate.
What do we do with the claimant's testimony that he was asked at the end of the day, that first day that you're working for Servpro, did you contact Impact Staffing? He responds, not at all. Impact Staffing told me that if they needed me to go back to work, to just keep working, that I did not have to call them. Now, what are we to do with that if the commission believed it?
That goes to the petitioner's state of mind regarding what happened.
No, it goes to the petitioner's credibility. Because if you told him he didn't have to call in, if they still had work, the only thing he had to do was go back to work as long as they had work, then in that particular case, if the commission believed that, you're a loaning employer.
What we have to go by is what the owner did on July 23rd when he contacted Impact Staffing pursuant to the agreement and requested two employees. There's an agreement for a reason, so that Impact Staffing receives payment when they give submit the time cards to Servpro, so they receive payment for submitting these employees. The fact that they went outside of this agreement for whatever reasons, maybe to avoid paying whatever the additional fees were, I'm not sure, but there's a reason why there's an agreement, the reason why it has to be done this way. I'm not sure why Mr. Garcia.
What do we do with Garcia's testimony where he said that on the morning of July the 24th, he called Impact Staffing and advised them that he had three of their employees there? Davis, Giron, and the claimant, and that Impact Staffing raised no objection.
I'm going to correct you for a moment, Your Honor. He said that Mr. Flores was there. He did not call him an employee. And what Mr. Ortega said was, Mr. Flores is not authorized to be there as an Impact Staffing employee. And if you look at what Mr. Chiodo said, the owner of Servpro, Mr. Chiodo, asked for two Impact Staffing employees, and the two Impact Staffing employees were there.
Well, I'm looking at Garcia's testimony. He said he told Impact Staffing that the claimant was at the job site and he just wanted confirmation for work. What did they say? They said, fine. Did they raise any objection to the claimant being at work? No. Did they say claimant was not authorized to work? No. Was anyone else present with you when you made that phone call? I don't recall. And did Impact raise any objection to the other individuals who were going to work that day? Garone and Caesar Davila answered no.
And that's not what,
yeah, go ahead.
That's not what Mr. Ortega testified to, who's the gentleman who allegedly had this conversation with Mr. Garcia.
No, but it's what Garcia said. The question is, isn't it for the commission to decide whether they're going to believe Garcia or they're going to believe your officer?
Well, except for you have the objective proof of the time cards where they only sent two people to work for them. That's the objective proof of what was supposed to be done on the 24th.
Well, Garcia said he told him he had three people there and he asked him if he had any objection. He said no.
And that's disputed by the time cards and disputed by the testimony of Mr. Ortega.
So it's a credibility issue. Who gets to make that decision?
But it's not just a credibility issue. It's outside of the contract itself that said you have to get it. They went outside of the contact, what was requested in the original confirmation with Mr. Chiota.
Well, if he never had the conversation that he said he had and never got the responses that he claimed he received, he'd probably be correct. But now the question is, he said, did you raise any objection? What did they say? They said, fine.
And it's not...
What did you say to them? The claimant was at the job site and we just wanted confirmation of work. What did they say? Fine.
And again, it's disputed by what Mr. Ortega said and it's disputed by what was actually, by the physical evidence, by the time cards and what was submitted.
Mr. Baggett, I concede that it's disputed. There's no question it's disputed. My question is, who gets to decide which version is true?
Well, except for if you look at the underlying decision by Arbitrator Fruith, he made that decision. And if you look at the decision based on what the commission decided, they looked at whether or not what the petitioner's thoughts were. So they don't even look at what the arbitrator held in his original decision.
The counsel, do they have to look at what the arbitrator had to say? The commission is the fact finder, not the arbitrator, unless, of course, they affirm and adopt.
It's true.
Okay, go ahead.
I see the yellow, the light going, so I'll reserve my time.
Well, you have 5 minutes.
You got some time left.
You got 2 minutes, then, right now.
Okay. Again, going back to what the commission said, I said, going back to the objective evidence, it's clear that the Serpro asked for two employees. That's what was given. They went outside of the terms of the agreement with Impact Staffing to obtain Mr. Flores outside of our contact, outside of what we did. The time cards submit that. We request that the commission decision be overturned and that Arbitrator Fruit's decision finding that the petitioner was not an employee on July 24th, 2018, be restated. Okay. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Baggett, you'll have 5 minutes in reply. Mr. Desai?
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Jigar Desai, and I represent the appellee, Penguis, doing business as SurfPro. The commission's decision that petitioner was an employee of both Impact Staffing and SurfPro is not against the manifest weight of the evidence. As this court is well aware, the standard of review As to whether the commission's finding on a factual determination is incorrect is whether or not it's against the manifest weight of the evidence. And it is not this court's job to substitute the judgment of the commission on factual issues.
Counsel, we understand the standards. Why don't you just tell us why it's not against the manifest weight?
Yes, as Your Honor correctly pointed out during appellant's argument, the commission resolved these factual issues and factual disputes related to whether or not Mr. Flores was able to work at ServPro on July 24th and considered the conflicting testimony and conflicting evidence, including the timesheets, including the service agreement, and resolved those that conflicting testimony and evidence in favor of a finding that petitioner Mr. Flores was employed by both Impact Staffing and ServPro. There is sufficient evidence in the record to support the commission's finding. There's no dispute that Mr. Flores was working for ServPro by way of Impact Staffing prior to July 20th. He was assigned to work for ServPro by Impact Staffing on July 10th, and he continued working for ServPro through July 20th. The dispute over employment conveniently only arises on the accident date, July 24th. The commission found there was no evidence of record that the agreement between the two employers was terminated, and counsel for appellant concedes same. There is evidence of an ongoing contractual arrangement as they sent two other employees to work on July 24th. Therefore, there is no dispute that a loaning and borrowing relationship at least existed between Impact and ServPro. Now, there is also sufficient evidence in the record to support the commission's finding that Impact never severed that employment relationship with Mr. Flores. The commission found that there was no evidence that Mr. Flores was ever terminated by Impact at any point prior to prior to July 24th. In fact, Impact admits it tried to contact Mr. Flores to work on July 24th for ServPro. Now, appellant argues Mr. Flores wasn't authorized to work. As I noted earlier, there's conflicting testimony on the issue which the commission resolved in favor of a finding that there is sufficient evidence in the record to support he was both a loaning, that Impact was the loaning employer and ServPro was the borrowing employer. The commission specifically found Mr. Garcia of ServPro credible on the issue of how employees of Impact were contacted to come work for ServPro. I'd also note that Mr. Flores testified extensively about his pre-July 24th work for Impact Staffing. He testified that he did not need to get express authorization from Impact Staffing to return to work for their clients, testifying that Impact Staffing told him, quote, "They told me if the supervisor gives you work, you can keep working." Therefore, Mr. Flores's understanding of the relationship and how he can accept work from Impact Staffing's clients was that if he was assigned to a particular employer, he can go back to work for them, whether it's a long-term or a short-term assignment. Now, Mr. Flores works for ServPro by way of Impact the week of July 10th through July 18th. He works on July 20th, which is a Friday. Mr. Flores testifies that Mr. Garcia of ServPro told him he should return to work the following week. And Mr. Flores acknowledged that he would return to work. Mr. Flores picked up his check from Impact that week. He credibly testified that no one at Impact prior to July 24th at that week ending July 20th told him that he wasn't authorized to work the following week or that he was terminated by Impact Staffing. He testified that over the weekend, including July 23rd, when he couldn't work due to a personal problem, that no one at Impact contacted him to say that he was terminated or that he wasn't authorized to continue working for ServPro. Mr. Garcia also credibly testified that this is how their relationship worked between Impact and ServPro, that he would obtain the direct contact information for Impact's employees and text them and tell them to come back to work. That's exactly what occurred on July 24th. On July 24th, Mr. Flores comes to the work site based on his understanding of how he was supposed to accept work for Impact Staffing. He testified a phone call took place with Mr. Garcia on July 24th and Impact Staffing at approximately 9 a.m. He stated he was standing next to Mr. Garcia of ServPro. He stated that he heard Mr. Garcia name all three of the employees of Impact Staffing who were on site and heard Mr. Garcia say to Impact Staffing that he needed them to work. Mr. Garcia also testified about that phone call. And said, as Justice Hoffman noted, that Impact Staffing indicated fine when told that all three of these employees were on site. Mr. Ortega, the witness for Impact Staffing did not necessarily dispute this characterization. He testified, quote, I asked him, Mr. Garcia, if Carlos was working that day and the previous week. And Marco Garcia says, you know what? He's next to me, end quote. Mr. Ortega testified that he told Mr. Garcia that Mr. Flores, quote, was not supposed to be there because he's not set up to work, end quote. Mr. Ortega's question was an admission in a sense. He tried to get Mr. Flores to come to work on July 24th, but was unable to make contact with him. There's no other reason for him to ask that question of Mr. Garcia unless Impact was trying to get Mr. Flores to come to work on July 24th. Also, significantly, when this discussion took place, there was no testimony from Mr. Ortega, Mr. Garcia, or Mr. Flores that Mr. Ortega told Mr. Garcia that Mr. Flores can't work that day, he's not authorized to work, and that he's no longer an employee of Impact Staffing. Mr. Ortega, the witness for Impact Staffing, was not credible. He did not have personal knowledge or recollection of anything with respect to daily or weekly job assignments. He was the individual on the call on July 24th. On direct examination, he testified that he would call petitioner daily to tell him to report to work for SurfPro. But on cross-examination, he testified that actually wasn't true and that he did not have any personal knowledge of him or anyone else calling Mr. Flores on a daily basis to report to work the following day. It's SurfPro's position that there is, you know, conflicting testimony and evidence as to the issue of whether or not Mr. Flores was authorized to work for SurfPro by Impact Staffing on July 24th. The commission considered that conflicting testimony and evidence. They clearly indicate that they considered the testimony, the conflicting testimony and conflicting evidence, and came to a conclusion that Mr. Flores was employed by both Impact Staffing and SurfPro on the date of accident. And that commission decision should not be disturbed as it was not against the manifest weight of the evidence. Thank you.
Any questions from the court? No. Okay, thank you, Mr. Desai. Mr. Baggett, you may reply.
I'm just going to clear up a couple of things here. First of all, whether or not Impact Staffing did not terminate Mr. Flores' employment the following week of 23rd and 24th, as Mr. Desai indicated, not because they didn't, it's because they couldn't. As the testimony indicated, they couldn't contact Mr. Flores. They couldn't reach Mr. Flores. They couldn't reach him for any purpose, either to have him to work or to have him not to work. There was no way they couldn't reach him, and that's clear. And Mr. Flores testified to that his phone was having issues and he had no contact from Impact Staffing following the 20th. To say that they didn't terminate him is not necessarily genuine. Regarding the facts of the case, I'm not going to go over them again. The testimony is clear. The objective evidence regarding what was asked for by SurfPro is consistent. They asked for two employees that day. That was the agreement between SurfPro and Impact Staffing. That's what they asked for. That's what Impact Staffing provided. Those two employees, one were not Mr. Flores.
Agreement the agreement between SurfPro and Impact Staffing. They originally asked for two people. SurfPro was sent two people, not the claimant. Regardless of who called or how the claimant found out that the job was on that day, regardless of how he found that out, he shows up, SurfPro contacts Impact Staffing and says, hey, three of your guys are here, tells them who it is. And is that okay? If Impact Staffing, as the testimony allegedly points out, says fine, doesn't that alter the agreement and make it that Impact Staffing provided three people?
No, because it's not what was asked for in the original agreement. That's not
let's get past the original agreement. It's been modified when they call and say, three of your guys showed up. Can we use them?
And it's not.
I'm putting words in their mouth, but I'm. You see what I'm saying? Once they were notified that three of their employees were at the job site, and was it okay? And allegedly, someone from Impact Staffing said fine. Doesn't that alter the original agreement? And now we have a new agreement.
That's not what Mr. Ortega testified to. He testified to that. That's not what was agreed to.
But there was some testimony that that's what occurred. The chain of events led to a phone call to Impact Staffing, say, hey, three of your guys are here. Is it okay? Fine.
There was a phone call, yes. We dispute the nature of that phone call.
Okay.
So, as I stated before, I request that the court reinstate the decision of Arbitrator Fruth. I thank you for your time this morning.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Baggett. Mr. Desai, your arguments, thank you for your arguments this morning. They'll be taken under advisement and written.